And if you have a Bible, you can turn into it to 1 Samuel chapter 6. And this is a story about, you know, Samuel was just coming into power and into his anointing and ministry and just tremendous things God was going to do through Samuel. But the children of Israel, as you know, if you've read your Bible, they had some issues. They had bad things happening, right? How many know when you take your eyes off of Jesus, bad stuff happens? It's not just because he's cursing you. It's because that's the only other option, right? If we take our eyes off of Jesus, who's that leave me with? The devil, right? If I take my eyes off the Lord, that leaves me with the curse in my life, right? Well, the children of Israel had a routine of going, yes, God, no, God, yes, God, no, God, yes, God, no, God. For 40 years, they said yes, and then they turned back to their old ways and so forth. Well, when that stuff happens, whether it's to an individual or to a nation, right? We got, how many know we just got to come back to Jesus, right? Praise the Lord. But this is the story of the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence in the nation of Israel, was taken captive. Now that's funny, isn't it? The Ark of the Covenant, which was symbolic of God's presence, was taken captive by the Philistines. Now the Philistines are kind of funny, right? I mean, they're anti-God. I mean, they're sinners and proud of it. They represent the whole, you know, just the whole sinner thing in the world, right? But this is an interesting story. So 1 Samuel chapter 6 says this. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us what how we should send it to its place. Okay, now they've had the ark of the covenant in their camp among their people for 7 months, and bad stuff was happening to them. Now, even a sinner knows if bad stuff is happening, there must be a reason for it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So they said, if you send away the Ark of Israel, they went to their leaders, right? Do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering. Even sinners know this, right? Then you will be healed. Somebody say, even sinners know this, right? And it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. And they said, verse 4, what is the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors. Why? Because they all had tumors, right? And 5 golden rats. Why? Because they had rats. Man, rats are not a blessing. Even sinners know. Even sinners know sickness and poverty and bad stuff is not from God, right? That means you're doing something wrong. Amen? 5 golden tumors, 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all you and on your lords. Therefore, you shall make images of your tumors and images of your rats that ravage the land. You shall give glory to the God of Israel. Even sinners know, right? Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods, and from your land. If you've read the story, you know that when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in and sat it before their god Dagon, they came in the next day and Dagon had fallen on his face. And they thought it was a coincidence. So they set Dagon back up. They came on the next day and he was on his face and he was decapitated and his hands were cut off. They thought. 2 + 2 = 4. Plus everybody's sick. There's a rat outbreak. Amen. And in pest control, we know the reasons why. You don't want a rat outbreak. Hana viruses, all kind of nasty stuff, right? So bad stuff was happening. Somebody say this, though, out loud. Something good is going to happen to me. Amen. Oral Roberts used to say that in his broadcast. And when you're tithing and when you're giving and when you're sowing, you do it because you're believing, you know what? I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to sow into God's work and something good is going to happen to me, right? You're sowing into God's work. You're sowing into God's kingdom. You're trusting the Lord with your finances. When you tithe, you are literally removing your finances from this world's finances and putting them with God's finances, with God's kingdom, which brings the blessing on you. Somebody say, even sinners understand this, right? We don't want bad stuff. We want good stuff, right? And we want to spread the good word of the gospel. All right, so here we go. Verse 5, therefore you shall make images of your tumors, images of your rats that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you and your gods and from your land. Why then do you harden your hearts, verse 6, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened? The Philistines were taking notes. Man, this is the same God that handled Pharaoh. You look out, we need to do something here, right? When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go that they might depart? Verse 7, now therefore, somebody say now, right? Now therefore, now look at this. Even sinners get this. Make a new cart. Take two milk cows, which have never been yoked, and hitch the cows to the cart. Take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord, set it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side. Then send it away and let it go. Amen, right? Even sinners get this. Do something good. Do something nice. Give God the best. Somebody say, give God the best. And what that means to the church is the tenth. A tenth is the Lord's. The tenth is the first part of your income. It's the best part, right? Somebody say, even Philistines get this, right? So they took, the main thing you want to look at here that was jumping out at me is don't keep from God what belongs to him. Don't keep from God what belongs to him. The Philistines understood this. We want some good stuff happening around here. So perhaps we should give God back what belongs to him. So let's get a nice new cart and some nice, the best cows we got, and let's let it go. Hallelujah. So how many know even the world understands this, right? Even people who don't come to church, man, they'll support, you know, some nonprofit organization or children's hospitals. I mean, we all ought to be being blessings in a number of ways, but even the world understands, you know what? I need to be doing something good with my money, right? How much more the church? Those of us who are in the household of faith ought to be leading the way in our giving, and kudos to you because you do. You do. Amen? And it's important that places like this are open. That our bills, guys, in this house are paid now months out. I mean, we are months ahead we are in no financial duress, really. To be honest with you, we never have been. Why? Because we preach this and we do this. And you're actively giving and sowing and reaping, right? But somebody say, something good's gonna happen to me, right? Something good is coming your way because you are a tither. It's not by accident. It's because you take the best part of your income, that tenth, and you give it to the Lord, his work, right? And you, what do? You let it go. And God's blessing comes on you. Doesn't mean God's going to curse you with rats and tumors, all right? No, we know God better than that. He's a good, good father, right? He loves us. And we sow and we give to God's work because we love him and we're in his family. Listen, even if the world understands this, the church ought to understand this better than the world, don't you? Why? Because we have something the world doesn't have. It's called a relationship with God. A relationship with God. Amen? So somebody say, something good is going to happen to me. No tumors, no rats, no curse. I've been redeemed from the curse. Jesus didn't come to help me live with the curse. He came to redeem me from it. So it's important to know what the curse is. The Philistines, even the sinners knew, this is a curse. What should we do? Perhaps we should give God back what's his and add something else to it. Give him some gold. Give him some... And don't you know that's what it was? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray over this giving today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for blessing your people's giving today, Lord. We thank you that you are the God of great wealth and abundance. Poverty is not a blessing from the Lord. Poverty has no place, somebody say no place, in the body of Christ. We are blessed to be a blessing. And so we thank you, Lord, as we sow our seed today and give our tithes and offerings, we receive back a hundredfold increase on every seed that we've sown. Somebody say this out loud. I receive a hundredfold increase on every seed I sow. Houses, raises, bonuses, favor of God, the blessings of God in every area of my life, in Jesus' name. But Pastor Terry was reminding me this morning in my Faith Foundations class, our motive of giving is to get the gospel preached, not to get me blessed, right? Praise the Lord, we'll take it, right? But our first motive is what? Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and let the Spirit of God do wonderful things in the world. Amen? In the church. Praise the Lord. Let's receive our offering today. Lord, He is so good. Well, let's pray over this message this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Somebody say, I have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond to what you're saying to me today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to continue on our series, The Blood That Speaks. Somebody say, blood that speaks. Amen. And I really liked this image that I found on Google Images of the man being sworn in court. And the blood of Jesus is a witness. Amen. The blood of Jesus is either speaking for you or against you. It speaks for me if my faith is in Jesus, right? If I'm born again, it speaks on my behalf. If I'm not born again, then it speaks against me, doesn't it? Right? Because I'm guilty. Amen? But how many in here are born again? Right? So the blood speaks on your behalf. And you can go back online if you want to see the past, I think, three or four messages we've preached on this. Talking about the blood speaks that Jesus is coming again, and then the blood says that you're forgiven, right? And today I want to look at a few things that were on my heart to get to this whole time, but sometimes the Lord saves the dessert until after the main course, right? But the blood of Jesus promises you wonderful things. Let's say that again. Something good is going to happen to me. Amen. So that's why we come to Jesus, right? Because He's good. He's so good to us, right? And I heard someone on Christian radio. I'm so thankful for Christian radio stations. And, you know, when I was a younger guy, I had to go hunt for Christian music, right? And you had gospel quartets or nothing, right? And I had to go find it. Christian Supply on Division Street. Back in the day, and you'd put your little headset on, and you could go down the aisles, and they'd have little signs, you know. This section, you might find someone that sounds like Bruce Springsteen. This section, you might find something that sounds like Rat. This section, you might find, it's your gospel substitute, right? And I found Carmen, and I found Amy Grant, and I found Michael W. Smith. And I found Striper, and I've the list goes up. Petra, right? And nowadays, man, there's more than one station on with just all kinds of good gospel music. Praise the Lord for that. You know, really, it's becoming, people have less and less of an excuse to stay away from Jesus now. I mean, His stuff is just better. If you flipped around the stations at all, man, His stuff is just better. It's clean, right? It directs my attention to Him, not to lust or nasty stuff or whatever, you know. Man, He's so good. So thankful for that. Now, I was listening to one of the DJs this week, and God bless him, and they were talking about how they've been having some health challenges in their house and this kind of stuff, and just being real with people. You know, I appreciate people that are real with people, right? But they were talking about how Jesus understands my suffering because He suffered. And that, you know, I don't even want to think about what He had to suffer. So almost like, therefore, I can suffer because He understands my suffering. But there wasn't a connection between His suffering and your freedom from suffering. Amen? And that's what we want to look at today. Jesus' suffering was not so you could understand that he understands your suffering. Let me just put it to you this way. I've got four kids that I love with all my heart. And if we're out together, walking the streets of like we did in New Orleans a couple weeks ago, we went to Jesse's conference, and they're hungry, and they haven't eaten all day, and I'm full, I've eaten. Well, kids, I understand your hunger. I was hungry once too. Oh, great, Dad, thanks. It just encourages me to know that you understand my hunger, because you were once hungry. Somebody say, bowl. No, I'm going to feed my kids. What do you want? You want elephant ears? You want noodles? You want tacos? What's that place we went to? Cafe Munde, I think it was. Cafe Munde, where they give you those little powdered, sugared, fluffy pillows. And what do you want, kids? My wallet is your wallet. Amen. Well, the Bible says I'm wicked compared to how good my Heavenly Father is. What the blood of Jesus and the DJ, God bless them, they were saying, I don't even want to think about what he was going through. Well, guess what? We have to think about what he went through, because your freedom is in it. Our freedom is in what Jesus did, what he suffered. And many have the attitude that Jesus' life was all about suffering. Well, no, we're talking a couple of days of his life. We're about suffering. He was blessed. He was not poor. He had a ministry. He supported many staff members. Do you remember in Bethlehem, he had rich guys looking for him, right? Praise the Lord. He lost everything because he gave everything at the cross. They didn't take his life. He laid it down for us. Amen. But our key scripture today is Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, and it says this. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. That sound like a poverty God to you? That sound like a God of lack and not enough? Innumerable company of angels, right? Hallelujah. If you read in Revelation about the heavenly city that's coming out of heaven, coming soon to a planet near you, you'll see words like streets of gold, gates of pearl. I mean, amazing, the God we serve, right? To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, somebody say, that's me. If you're born again, then you are registered in heaven. You have a reservation. You're not going to, anybody ever got to a hotel and realized you weren't registered? I remember a California trip we did, and I called ahead. I said, you know what? We're coming late, but we'll be there. We had attended a funeral. My uncle had gone on to be with Jesus, and we drove down further south because we wanted to go to Disneyland for a day. And we didn't get to the hotel till like 1 in the morning, I think, because we drove. And I called him. I said, don't give our room away. We're coming. Okay. And we got there, and guess what they did? They gave our room away. And it took us about 45 minutes at 2 in the morning or whatever it was to figure it out. But don't you know, you're not going to get to heaven if you're born again and they're looking through the book. Now, how do you spell that name again? Who you with? What's your company's name? How much you got in the checkbook? Huh? No. No. If you have received Jesus as Lord of your life, you have a registration in heaven. Your name's in the book. Somebody say, my name's in the book. If it isn't, then you just pray and say, Lord, I give you my life. I receive you. I receive what you did. My son this morning was asking me, Dad, what's the difference between what we believe, Christians believe, and what this other group, he named a mainline alternate faith, you know? I said, son, based on what I've studied, I said, you and I talked to him, you know, about my kids are great students. I said, have you ever heard that term, lowest common denominator, from school? The lowest common denominator to me is, how do I get saved? How do I get redeemed? Where's the hope for salvation in whatever faith you're talking about? Don't you know the only thing that you have to do, somebody said the only thing, the only thing that you have to do is put your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. Somebody say, done. You're saved. And I told him, I said, son, that faith and many others may recognize him, may talk about Jesus, may acknowledge that he died. Many of them don't believe he raised again from the dead. He was a prophet, a good man. But if they, even if they do acknowledge it, they'll say things like this, yeah, but that wasn't enough. You also, in order to be saved, have to do this whole list of things. Knock on doors, advertise our group, right? A, B, C, D, E. You have to be doing all of these things in order to be saved. Somebody say, lie. That is not true. That's you saving you then. And don't you know, there was nothing I could do to save myself. They mocked Jesus on the cross and said, Jesus, if you're so good, if you're God, then save yourself. He chose not to because he was saving me. He was doing something for me and humanity that we could not do for ourselves. That's the lie of false religion, is that you, it's intellectual. It's you need to climb the mountain yourself. You need to do these things. You can rise above your own. You can do these things yourself. You have. It's all about you doing it yourself. No, somebody say no. It's not about me or how bad I've been or how good I've been. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Period. Somebody say period. Right? Believers in Jesus, those who are born again, we don't do what we do and don't do what we do in order to be saved. We do what we do and don't do what we do because we are saved. Come on, church, right? Amen. It's a simple, even a child can understand that. But I got to do something. Religion will say, yeah, but you got to do something. You got to do something. Yeah, you do. It's called put your faith in Jesus. Somebody say, my faith is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm registered in heaven. Yeah, yeah. You just come running through the gates. You don't have to know a code. In the service industry, we get gate codes. And sometimes the gate codes are wrong. And the person isn't home. And then you got to look through the notes and you got to call the office and call their office and call the homeowner. And sometimes you don't get in the gates. And so they didn't get any service. But don't you know there's no expiration date on your registration? All you do is come and say, Jesus, I'm home. Praise the Lord, right? And don't you know that day is coming? But I'm rooting for the rapture. I don't know about you. We're either going by the way of the grave or by way of the trumpet. And I'll tell you what, we are closer and closer and closer to that trumpet, to the home call. Praise the Lord. And we meet in the clouds. Listen to the online. I've still got posted the first two messages of this. And man, we just get excited. You got to stay excited about the truth that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. So exciting. Praise the Lord. But you don't have to be afraid of dying, afraid of death. You don't have to believe for some sickness or accident or some bad thing to happen for you to die. When it's time for me to pass away, pass on to go home to be with Jesus, I believe I can just lie down and go to sleep and wake up in heaven. That happens to a lot of folks, right? Amen. Can you imagine that? Just lie down one night and go to sleep, open your eyes. Whoa, I feel good. I feel young. Wow, look at this place. And you start realizing you're home in heaven, just like that. Amen. Somebody say, that's that, man, God is good. God is good. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Again, we're in Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Somebody say, better things. Oh, is anybody believing for better things? I'll tell you what, in that conference that we attended, the visionary conference in New Orleans with at Covenant Church, Jesse Duplantis Ministries, I'll tell you what, he inspired and challenged me to be thinking of better things, bigger and better things. What has God put it in your heart to believe for? Write it down. Amen. Trust God for it. He told us one, I think it was the morning service, he said, go home to your hotel or wherever you're going, write down your vision list, things you're believing God for, and then stand on top of it for about 2 minutes, declare God's going to do it, and then stick it in your Bible and believe him. So God isn't asking you to figure it all out. He's just asking you to believe him. For God's just looking for somebody, church, to believe him. To believe him. Not to figure it all out, but just to faith it out, man. Believe him. Somebody say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe his word. And that brings me to today's message. That was the intro. Don't you love when the Holy Ghost just takes over, right? He is so wonderful. Who has believed our report? That's what it says in Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report, God is asking. Somebody say, I am. I believe. We can be like the one guy that said, Jesus, help my unbelief. I believe. I believe you, Lord. Amen. So what's the blood say about you? What's the blood of Jesus say about you? Somebody say, I believe it. Whatever it says, I believe it. We've got to become a church that believes in taking all. Somebody say, all. If somebody spilled their blood for me, I'm not going to insult them by turning anything down. Think of all the soldiers that gave their lives on the field of battle so we could be a free country, a democratic country, a Christian country, free to preach the gospel, free to have capitalism and build businesses and have families and not be afraid of walking down the streets and some other nation taking. Who's thankful for our troops, right? God bless them. God bless them and our nation, right? I refuse to dishonor them by voting people into office that are adamantly opposed to everything they died for. And I don't think they died on the field of battle thinking, I'm giving a man the right to marry another man. I'm going to lay my life down. No, I'm laying my life down so somebody can smoke weed. No, I'm laying my life down so someone can disrespect the flag. No, I'm laying my life down so someone can worship Buddha. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. It was so God can have this country and use this country as a weapon in his hand. Don't you know God has used this country more than once to bring peace to the world, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And how much more the blood of Jesus and what he did for you. Somebody say, I'm taking all that he has done. Now, last week we talked about the blood says, blood that speaks. The blood speaks and says you are forgiven. Somebody say hallelujah, right? That is the place to begin, right there. But see, so many people end there. How dare I think or ask or believe for anything else than I got my registration in heaven. Now, praise God, if we had to pick something, that'd be the one. How many know? If I have to live on hell on earth for 90, 100 years to get to a great eternity, man, I'll take it every time. But if there's more, I want to know about it. Because I'll tell you what, Jesus didn't let them lay his back open, for one example, so you could be healed when you get to heaven. How many know that's for now? Everything Jesus did in this wasn't just for eternity. It's for now. Somebody say now. Amen. Now, what I did was I took every place that it talks about Jesus shed blood. And in the Old Testament, the priest, before they would sacrifice the lamb, they would examine the lamb to make sure it was pure, to make sure it was clean, didn't have any diseases. They would go through a checklist and examine the lamb before they would slaughter it, before it was an acceptable sacrifice. And that's what they were doing to Jesus. They were examining him. Remember the stories. Pilate examined him. The Sanhedrin examined him. They put him through all these trials. They didn't know he was the Lamb of God. All these other lambs and bulls and doves and pigeons and all these things that they said, all the animals, they were rehearsals for what Jesus was going to do once and for all. Glory to God. Amen. So let's look at this. And I have them in your notes there, so you don't have to turn to them. You can if you want to, but we'll be moving quick. Luke 22 is going to be a big chapter, Matthew 27 and John 19. But Luke 22, 44 says this, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." We're talking here about the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And if you'll remember, our lives were lost in the Garden of Eden, weren't they? When Adam forsook his place with God and ate the fruit, we all know the story, and the whole curse, death, came on this planet because of that sin. Well, here we are in the Garden of Gethsemane all these years later, and we've got Jesus, who they refer to as the second Adam, right? The firstborn of many brethren now. And instead of saying no to God and yes to what I want, he was saying no to what I want and yes to God. Amen? And he was under such pressure. And I did some study on this. They say that oftentimes this can happen. This is not a fictitious thing. Well, he was just sweating so much. Blood was coming out of his pores. And I did some research on this, and they say that prisoners that are awaiting execution, oftentimes this happens to them because they know they're about to die. Now, Jesus, yeah, God the Son, but he's also a man. And he knew this was going to be an awful thing that he was about to do, right? Amen. So the blood, he was under such pressure, and the fear and the worry and the dread and the remorse and he was in such turmoil that he was tempted at that point to just flush it all, just forget it, you know? But he did not, did he? So what does this tell you and me? Well, I just put in one word, the blood speaks and says, I'm free. This set me free from the power of sin, right? From the power of fear, from the power of worry, from the power of dread. I remember Pastor Huck in our Bloodbot presentations would say, this is where my willpower was given back to me. Because Jesus overcame right there. And for every drug addict, every person that's got an issue with sin in their life, or whatever it is, here is your victory right here. This is where your victory was won. Somebody say, the blood says, I am free. I'm free. Amen. Now, it may not seem like it. You may still be having challenges and things in your life, but go back to that big B right there where it says, who has believed our report? Somebody say, I believe that I'm free in every area of my life. Praise the Lord. And you can confess this over your family, over your kids. Man, you go to prayer and you take nothing less. Why? Because blood was spilled for my freedom. I refuse to neglect it or ignore it or treat it little. Oh, poor little Jesus. I don't even want to think about it. I have to think about it because my freedom is there. And others' freedom will come through you getting free. That's why the devil hates this message. Well, I know I lost him to heaven, but boy, if I can just shut him up on this planet, keep them enslaved, keep them in bondage, keep them addicted, and they can just talk the grace, the grace, the grace. No, 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 no. No, come to the blood, the blood, the blood, and get set free, free, free. Amen? Look at this. Luke 22, 63 and 64 says this. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. This is at the Sanhedrin. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who struck you? Right? So again, Jesus was shedding blood from his head, from his face, right here. Amen. And it says in other parts of the Bible, at this same moment, they were spitting on him. Right? And we'll see that again later. But just, we'll get to that in a minute. But the thing that jumped out at me here is that those people that were religious authorities that represented God were rejecting him. So the blood speaks right there and tells me this. Steve, you're accepted. You're accepted. Religion will tell you this. You're not good enough. Yeah, Jesus did that, but it wasn't good enough. Ho, ho, ho. Contraire, mon frère. Right? The man shed blood. It was good enough. It was acceptable. Amen? What does that mean? That means you, with your faith in Jesus, can come to God face to face, and he will not turn you away. You might have had the worst day you could have, and you just come to God and say, Daddy, yes, Steve, I'm here. Come on in. Come on in. Let's talk. Ha, huh, what? There's such freedom in that. Such freedom in that. Meet face to face with your Father at will. You don't have to have a priest going for you. You don't have to have a monk going for you. You don't have to have a, you know, whatever. You go yourself and meet with your Father face to face. Somebody say, I am accepted. I'm accepted in God's family. Amen. So don't let the devil be putting you this rejection thing on you. I've dealt with that a lot in my life where I feel like I don't measure up. I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. That's the devil. That's the devil putting that on you. And we have to reject his rejection. Au contraire, mon frère, I'm accepted. How do you know that? Well, let's look, devil. Look right here. It says, can you read, devil? I know you know scripture. Luke 22, 63, 64. And the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. Having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, prophesy, who is the one that struck you? See right there, he shed blood. They were rejecting him. He endured rejection from God's leaders. So I'm accepted by God now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you come to God whenever you want to. Amen. Somebody say, I'm accepted. I'm accepted. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was struggling with some things, and the Lord said, I'll see if I can remember exactly how he said it. He said, Steve, you don't, he said, you just accept my acceptance of you. You can't earn my acceptance of you. He said, you're doing all these things and saying these things to try to earn my acceptance. He said, you can do nothing to earn my acceptance of you. You simply accept my acceptance of you. Man, that was a paradigm shift for me, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew 27, 6 says this. This is when he was before Pilate, and you know the story. You can go back and read these whole chapters, but we're looking at specifically where blood was shed. Then he released Barabbas to them. Remember, the crowd chose, release to us Barabbas. It was a tradition to release somebody on that day, and they chose to condemn Jesus. You know the story, right? Then he released Barabbas. By the way, I played Barabbas in an Easter play once. It's on film. Boy, my kids laugh at that. That's my dad. Yep, Barabbas. Potato sack and the whole thing, right? Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Amen? So, when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him. Well, when he scourged him, he delivered me. When Jesus was scourged, that means whipped. By his stripes, you were healed. Right? So the blood speaks and says this. You are healed. Amen. Let's say that out loud. Just say, I'm healed. The blood speaks and testifies that I'm healed. if this really happened, and I believe it did, then I really am healed. I may be experiencing some health issues or doctor's reports or symptoms in my body, but what do I say when that speaks up? Oh, no, no. Look right here, body, right? Matthew 27:6, he was scourged and delivered to be crucified, and that tells me I'm healed. The blood testifies and speaks to me that my body is really spirit, soul, and body. Mental healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. When they beat him, I mean, if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie, oh my. Bless Mel Gibson for the work he did on that movie. That brought us closer to probably what it was really like. He didn't do that for his own good. He didn't do that so you could be healed when you get to heaven. He did that for me now. Right? So the blood speaks and tells me I'm healed. So, who am I going to believe? The symptoms? The reports? Or we're going to believe God's report? We're going to light up our faith with what God said. I'm taking my healing, in other words. Jesus purchased this for me with his blood. It would be an insult to him to refuse it. This is why it's so... Pastor Terry was talking this morning about, you know, the word tolerance is so popular. There's some things we shouldn't tolerate. One of them is Christians might be sick and it might be God's plan for their life. No, I'm not tolerating that for one minute. It's not God's plan for you to be sick and teach you some great lesson. No. No. How do you know? Right here. They laid his back open. You could see his organs. Ugly. Awful, but wonderful for you. He did it for me. Amen? So we choose to believe it. That's why we get so many miracle testimonies around here. Because you're in a church that believes that. We just believe the word, really. Call it word of faith church, whatever you want, but it's really, we're a word church. We believe what the word says. And we let the Holy Spirit teach us how it applies to us today. Amen? Somebody say, I'm healed. I take my healing today, Lord. Matthew 27:29-30, a couple more here. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. Right? So again, blood is being shed. And I don't think that thorn was a tiny little like rose thorns. They were probably jammed into his skull, right? And this blood is coming out of his head, and they beat him in the head with a staff, right? In spitting in Jewish teachings and so forth, spitting is representing the curse. Amen? That's why Jesus sometimes when he would heal somebody, he would spit in his eye. Your eye is blind. He wasn't telling the man he's cursed. He was cursing the blindness. You can't speak? Hold out your tongue. He wasn't cursing the man. He was cursing the dumbness. Hallelujah. So all these people were cursing. Jesus took every curse for us. Amen? And if you remember in the Garden of Eden, when Adam had to deal with his consequences, God said, now, because you did this, you're going to have to eke out an existence on this planet by the toil and sweat of your brow. Thorns and thistles will grow, right? So Jesus taking that curse on his head was getting you the blessing of God back on your life, giving you a sound mind, right? Mental issues, thought life issues. But really, the best word to say is the blood speaks and says, no more am I cursed. No, somebody say, no more am I cursed. I am blessed. The blood speaks and says, because of this, you are now blessed. And I love Brother Copeland, how he says, when you write blessed, write it in all caps. I am blessed. Praise the Lord. Jesus took that curse. Man, they thought they were cursing him, and really he was cursing the curse, wasn't he? Hallelujah. So somebody say, don't neglect that. Don't neglect it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Believe God. And we got to believe God. Is it possible to own a debt-free house or multiple houses? To own businesses, to be blessed financially, to live debt-free, right? That's the blessing of God. That's the blessing of God in our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. My daughter just got a scholarship for college, right? I mean, we're believing God for the right places to go for our kids. Amen? If you've seen all the scandals and things with colleges and stuff lately, they're in a mess. We don't want to send our kids into a mess. Amen? God's got a plan, right? And if we do God's plan, he'll provide for it. And that's glorious news, right? And whatever it is, family, home, praise the Lord. God is so good. Don't ever use words like I'm on a fixed income. I'm broke. No. We got to shut ourselves up, man. Who are you going to believe? Amen? If you're a tither, if your faith is in Jesus right here, he bore the curse for me. And I'm taking it. I'm taking it. Somebody say, I'm taking it to the bank. Right? Hallelujah. This is good news. Now, Matthew 27:35 says this. Then they crucified him. Right? So there's usually where the world instantly goes when they think about, and praise the Lord, they should, right? Man, when he died, you got forgiven and saved, and hallelujah. But we need to look at this a little closer. He bled from his hands and his feet. Right? He bled from his hands and his feet. And then Jesus tells us, now you lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Wherever you go, you claim it as an inheritance for you. Amen? Wherever your feet go, you claim that as your territory, your spiritual ground. When I'm out driving around on my route, oftentimes I'll be praying, Lord, I take Tigard for Jesus. I take Beaverton for Jesus. I take, good Lord, downtown Portland for Jesus. Multnomah County for Jesus. I take Gresham and Clackamas County and Clark County and, you know, wherever you're at. Why? Because he bled from his hands and his feet, which tells me this. What I was thinking of this, right? It tells me this. The blood says I have authority wherever I go. We lost our authority in the Garden of Gethsemane or the Garden of Eden, right? But when Jesus bled from his hands and his feet, whatever you put your hand to, it's blessed. Wherever your feet go, you're having problems in your hometown or at your schools, do a prayer walk. The other day, Shelly and I went walking around our junior high track, beautiful new complex. And we just started praying, Lord, we cover our schools in the name of Jesus. And you're walking. Sometimes we had some weird neighbors on our street for a while. And one day I got home and I wiped some sweat off my head and put it on my boots and just walked right down the sidewalk and walked back home. In Jesus' name. And guess what? They're gone. Amen. Authority. The devil wants to rob the church of its authority. But I'll tell you what, if you get a church to start to believe in they're in charge on this planet, oh, it's just Satan's planet, come Lord Jesus, it's Satan's planet, come Lord Jesus. No. No. Satan has been evicted. I've seen this on apartments before when people have been evicted from an apartment and they just literally trash the place before they leave. Right? Satan is a crazed lunatic that had control of this planet for a while, and he's been evicted. So he is burning and pillaging on his way out. So that's why there has to be a rapture, because if you don't get out of the way, he won't have his way. Amen? So what do? We lay hands on stuff. Right? We lay hands. You take a picture of that thing, that the vision, you go through your vision list. Everybody should go home and write a vision list. What do you believe in God for? Lay hands on it. I receive this done and accomplished in my life. Put a couple scriptures by it, whatever, and you're standing on that. and you're trusting God for that, you walk it out, you walk through your house, in Jesus' name, the flu has no place. I don't care what season they call it. The flu has no place in this house. Sickness, colds, diseases have no place in my house. I had a couple dead rats show up on my property while we were gone. So I know pest control. And then the other day I had flies start showing up in my house. So I did a couple pest control things to test it. And I did a prayer walk around my house, anointed. I just said, no, I'm not having flies on my house. I'm not having rats on my property. Right? And you take authority. Amen. Lay hands on your checkbook, on your bill. Get your bills out and lay hands on them. In Jesus' name, I call every bill paid. I call me debt-free. I call me wealthy, healthy, and wise. I mean, come on, right? Why not? Well, that may not be God's will. Somebody shed their blood. It ain't about you. It's about you honoring Him. You want to honor Jesus? Get well and get rich. And stay in love with Him. Love Him. Somebody say, I love Him. I believe Him because I love Him. That's what Pastor Terry was talking about too. Ignoring the lies and deceptions of the world and staying in love with Jesus. Well, if I get wealthy and healthy, I'll probably stop loving Him. That's not true. Look at Abraham's life. I know these guys had issues, David and so forth, but is it possible for you to be healed and blessed and you don't take your eyes off of Jesus? All it's going to do is magnify you. Look at the world. If you can think of the richest sinner you can think of, all it does is magnify who they are. You're a tither. First of all, money's not your God. Peter Daniels, one of the richest men in Australia, said that. Money can't be your God if you just keep giving it away. Amen. You go into a restaurant and everybody wants to serve you because they know that person is a tipper. Amen. Right? Why? Because somebody bled for me so I could be blessed. Somebody say, I am blessed. I am in authority. Amen. You have authority. Jesus said that, didn't He? All authority I give to you, my people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Finally, John 19:34. But one of the soldiers pierced His side with a spear. Well, I guess I preached ahead into this one, didn't I? And immediately blood and water came out after He was dead, right? This is the final place He shed His blood. Blood came out of Jesus' body. When they pierced His side and blood and water came out, meeting his heart exploded in His chest. Right? And all the blood and the water came out. What does that tell you? Well, this jumped out at me. The blood says, I'm loved. The blood says, I am loved by God. He loves me. Somebody just say, He loves me. We'd do so much better if we just remind ourselves throughout the day, oh God, I thank You, Father, that You love me, that You love me, that You love me, that You love me. And then again, oh, thank You, Lord, that You love me. You know what you're going to do? You're going to return the love to Him more than you ever thought you could. You're going to be more in love with God than you ever thought you could be, because why? He healed your heart here. Why do people fall short of loving? Because their hearts are messed up. Jesus, when His heart was broken, He healed the brokenhearted, didn't He? Amen? So you can receive that healing in your life of any heart issues, any broken heart, depression, sorrow, grief, and you can just say, Lord, I thank You, I receive what You did for me that day. My heart is whole. I receive that You love me, that You love me. Meditating on God's love, reading through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you know, just meditating on how loved you are. And then you begin loving God, and you do already, but you continue choosing to stay in love with Him, and guess what? You're going to start loving others more than you ever thought you could. Amen? People will not be able to offend you anymore. Those things that used to pick at you and pick at you and pick at you and pick at you are not even going to faze you anymore, because you have such a deeper revelation that you are so loved by God. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? You believe you can go through life even a week without getting mad at someone because they made you mad? Yeah. Why? Because Jesus did this for me. Amen. Let's stand on our feet, and we're gonna close in prayer this morning. Just lift your hands to the Lord and thank Him for His words today. Just say this after me. Just say, Father God, I thank You for all that You did for me at the cross. I thank You, Lord, that I'm free. I thank You that I'm accepted. I thank You that I'm healed. I thank You that I'm blessed. I thank You that I have authority. And I thank You that I'm so loved. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, everybody, and have a wonderful day. I think there's some coffee and refreshments on out there. Praise God. Thanks for coming to church.